You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Marijuana is legal for medical use under California law, but sale and possession are still federal crimes. Raids on growers and dispensaries and a general climate of uncertainty are increasingly creating problems for the industry. Last week, the company that processes most dispensary credit card transactions nationally announced that starting in July, it would no longer do so. That means businesses will now have to conduct most of their transactions in cash. Here in the Bay Area, downtown Oakland is such a noted center of cannabis activism that a section of the city is known as Oaksterdam. Yet Oakland's largest dispensary is a few miles away from downtown on the Embarcadero. Harborside Health Center claims to be the largest such club in the state with over 100,000 members. The center was the subject of a short-lived reality series called Weed Wars. It focused on the day-to-day activities at Harborside.
These ain't your local D-boys. These are the brothers that be fighting the weed wars.
At the center of Harborside's activities is Steve D'Angelo, a longtime marijuana activist and outspoken critic of federal policy. KALW's Stephen Short offers this profile of a major player in California's medical cannabis industry.
Hey, Jeremy, how's things going in the nursery?
Everything's going great, Steve. Our supply is up. Everybody is ramped up and ready to go. I don't think we're going to have any supply issues this year.
The slogan of Harborside Health Center is "Out of the shadows, into the light." It's a philosophy that Executive Director Steve D'Angelo takes seriously. He says he got the idea from his building designer. She suggested he put windows in the sales area, something he had never seen in a dispensary.
I sort of had a double take, and I was like, why not do that? I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing.
And he never has been. D'Angelo has been a marijuana activist since he was just 16 years old. He helped plan the first hemp museum. He organized a traveling hemp tour. And he worked with author Jack Herrera in the publication of his book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. This book is still cited by pro-hemp and pro-marijuana groups over a quarter of a century after its publication.
I always knew that I wanted to be an activist for social justice.
These are not idle words. D'Angelo has been an activist since he was a boy.
In 1971, at the height of the Vietnam War, I organized an occupation of our junior high school gymnasium. And we held that gymnasium for a whole day and I think made a very effective statement about the war.
Lessons from such early activities stayed with him and helped lead to his life's work.
I found that many of the other issues that are dear to my heart, like democracy, individual liberty, compassion, equality of health care, all are impacted by cannabis activism.
While living in his hometown of Washington, D.C., D'Angelo was deeply involved in the 1998 political campaign to legalize medical cannabis there. The initiative passed, but was overturned by the U.S. Congress. By this time, California's first medical marijuana law was already in place, so he decided to, shall we say, move to greener pastures. He co-founded Harborside Health Center after receiving a cannabis dispensary license from the city of Oakland in the fall of 2006. Earlier this year, the FBI raided Oakland's Oaksterdam University and forced a number of dispensaries throughout the state to close. That may have been surprising to some, but not to Steve D'Angelo.
The very first day that we opened our doors here at Harborside, there were DEA agents raiding medical cannabis locations in San Francisco and in Oakland. And we opened our doors that day. Since then, I've never known when I come to work in the morning whether I'm going to go home at night or whether I'm going to be taken away in handcuffs.
Harborside's location could keep it off the DEA's radar. It's not near parks or schools or residential areas. Furthermore, it's operating within the city of Oakland's guidelines for cannabis dispensaries, as well as state regulations. While Harborside has yet to butt heads with the DEA, they are fighting tax claims from the IRS. That agency says the dispensary owes millions in back taxes. Harborside contends that they wrote off legitimate business expenses, such as payroll and health care costs. But the IRS says that's not legal, because Harborside is selling illegal drugs, which it is, under federal laws. One of the main concerns behind federal crackdowns nationally is what officials might call the migration of cannabis from medical use, which is regulated in several states, into recreational use, which is not. Many activists are working towards getting recreational cannabis legalized, but D'Angelo thinks that's misguided. He doesn't even accept the idea of recreational cannabis. The plant, he says, is neutral. What varies is how people use it.
I believe that cannabis can help inspire people to make creations, which can be part of a recreational activity. But it's not the cannabis itself which is recreational. The cannabis is playing a wellness function, which enhances or enables recreation.
Now, wait a minute. I have to ask you about that. I mean, the typical stereotype of somebody who's been smoking or eating marijuana, their response to that would be, what? You know, it's supposed to slow you down. You're drugged now. So that's opposite of what you just said.
Some people believe that cannabis just makes you spacey and that you wouldn't be able to create anything when you were using cannabis. But if you go back and look in history, you find that remarkable artists from Louis Armstrong to the great Sufi poets of the 7th century all speak about how cannabis has inspired them, has enabled them to take the stage and give tremendous performances. So, in fact, cannabis is really a great aid to creativity. That's why musicians, writers, painters, and performers have always loved cannabis.
Like many advocates, D'Angelo can cite a long list of positive aspects of cannabis, including this one.
One of the well-known benefits of cannabis amongst regular users is that it tends to promote forgiveness and understanding. And so cannabis can be a powerful tool to conflict resolution, anything from business disputes to lovers' quarrels.
This forgiving attitude will no doubt prove useful to Steve D'Angelo as the legal wrangling associated with his industry continues. In Oakland, I'm Stephen Short for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. That story was reported by KALW's Stephen Short, our designated cannabis correspondent, and he's here with me in studio now to discuss some of the recent developments in California's marijuana industry, and there's been a lot going on lately, Stephen. So what about that mention at the start of your profile of Steve D'Angelo that said that dispensaries can't use credit cards after this weekend?
Well, this is a big surprise. The company is called Electronic Merchant Systems, and they are the main credit card processor for medical marijuana dispensaries nationally. Now, unannounced, unbeknownst to them, 2 weeks ago, these dispensaries got an email from EMS saying, quote, effective July 1st, medical marijuana merchants will no longer be able to accept Visa or MasterCard credit or debit cards. However, they can continue to accept Discover.
That's very odd. So what do you think is happening here? Are they afraid of a federal crackdown or something?
Well, it could well be. I mean, I called EMS a couple of times, but they did not respond. So this is what happens in this industry. People don't give you information, and then you have to just make things up. But
not that you're making anything up here.
Well, no, but what I mean is if you don't get real information, then you have to speculate, or uh-huh. There are rumors moving around, and that's about all we have. Now, this story was broken by the online Medical Marijuana Business Daily, and they have some contacts who have said that it seems that the credit card companies themselves, Visa and MasterCard, have then pressured EMS to do this action, which, of course, leads you to think, who's pressuring Visa and MasterCard?
Right, because it's obviously a lucrative business. There's a lot of transactions that are happening. So this now says that mainly it's got to be cash. What kind of impact do you foresee on these businesses?
Well, I went to one and called another of the local dispensaries, and it's a big deal. One place in particular said that at least half of their business is credit card. You can imagine this can be an expensive purchase when you go into these places, and people don't want to carry around cash. They like the convenience of a credit card. So there are possibilities. You could either they can either maybe come up with debit cards, or naturally there's going to be another possibility of a card processing. But that's all unknown at this point.
All right. So what else is going on in cannabis news this week?
Well, there were a couple of other big things. On Monday, a state Senate committee was supposed to vote on whether to create the first Board of Medical Marijuana Enforcement. This was to establish a statewide regulation for this industry.
Right, because that's been one of the complaints, is that it's not regulated.
Well, it's not regulated consistently. Cities and counties have their own rules. For example, Fresno says no dispensaries at all in Fresno. Well, they can do that. But San Francisco, of course, has several. But there's no oversight over the whole state. Now, this was sponsored by Tom Amiano of San Francisco. It made it out of the assembly to go to the Senate, which was a big deal in itself. That has never happened before. But the Senate committee that was studying it, when they looked at it, they said, well, it needed some more work.
And so they pulled it off the agenda. Why?
Well, there were various reasons, but I think the short answer is Amiano didn't have enough votes. He was quoted as saying, I couldn't count enough noses.